Kerry Walsh Jennings joins us on Sports Byline, three-time Olympic gold medalist in beach volleyball, also won a bronze, and she is the beach volleyball career leader in both career victories and career wins. And she's also a three-time world champion. She played beach volleyball with Misty May Traynor, and they have been called the greatest beach volleyball team of all time. You know, Kerry, when I think about all that you have accomplished, when you think about it, what surprises you most about that?
I mean, nothing and everything, to be honest with you. You know, my whole life has just, my whole path has always made sense. You know, whatever came next, like, it's like, oh, I'm here, and it makes sense. But I think that maybe the fact that I'm turning 40 in August, and I'm still going, and I still love it as much as I did when I was a 10-year-old, perhaps that's most surprising. But winning does that. You know, when you win a lot, when you're so blessed to be surrounded by such amazing teammates and coaches and an amazing sport with a great lifestyle, you want to keep going. So I think ultimately this makes sense too.
Did you ever have to deal with what young swimmers and young tennis players have to endure about maybe a burnout factor? Because you started when you were very, very young, and you went right into high school where you were great there, and then into Stanford and everything. Did you ever reach a burnout stage where you had to push yourself to keep going?
You know, not in my early years, certainly not. Again, you know, I feel like my whole life I've been living in quads, in quadrennials, you know, because in high school it's 4 years, college is 4 years, and the Olympic cycle is every 4 years, and I always get a second win within each of those quadrennials. The only time that I ever honestly had burnout was when my husband and I, you know, we decided to have a family, and I had a miscarriage, and I was just ready for something more in my career. And, you know, the life of a professional athlete is, you know, super egotistical, like you're just super into yourself. And I was looking for that perspective and that balance in my life. And once I came to that with my children, it literally added, obviously, at least 10 more years in my career, and I'm still going. So that was the only time I was confronted with that, and that was just, you know, time to grow up a little bit.
One of the things that amazes me about you is your learning curve of success. And I mean that because when you were young and in high school, you had all those volleyball championships. You won a state basketball championship. You were a four-time All-American at Stanford. You won all those gold medals and world championships in volleyball. Did that set a bar for you that you always felt you had to push to that level every time you stepped out on the sand?
You know, winning, I honestly believe, is a habit. And right now I'm not winning. I can't wait to get back to that winning habit. You know, there's like a swagger and a confidence, and nothing is taken for granted when you're winning. But there, I don't know, there's just momentum going in the right direction. But, you know, ultimately all of those wins, those championships, I don't know why I have been chosen to be so blessed. Again, with Archbishop Mitty in San Jose, that is a powerhouse in the Bay Area. Stanford University, can't get better than that. And then Misty May Traynor, you know, I've just literally been blessed with the best of the best. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely a product of my environment, definitely right time, right place. And then, again, that winning habit is something that is priceless and leads to more wins.
I remember talking to John McEnroe one time, Kerry, and I asked him, I said, you know, you took that 6 months away from tennis and came back, and you were a little bit different. I said, what was the difference there? He said, you know, when I got married and I had kids, it used to, before I got on the court, that's all I thought about was tennis, 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 tennis. But after I got married, I would think at some time, well, my child has a cold, and things would distract me a little bit. What was it like after you had children and started changing your life from being a young athlete to being somebody mature and adult?
To be honest with you, it was like I could breathe again. You know, like, I assume it's kind of the same with John, even though it's so hard to juggle and to try to balance the family life, because I am obsessed with my sport. I'm obsessed with trying to be the best I can be. But ultimately, my biggest obsession in life is my family, and that takes priority to everything. But it really cut the edge of my career. You know, if you're only living and breathing one thing, that's not sustainable. And so when I have my family, and my husband's been amazing, and my children, like, it really gave me that just new perspective, and really kind of it took the monkey off my shoulders, but only focusing on winning and defining myself through my career only. You know, it allowed me to be a woman, it allowed me to be a mommy and a wife, and it really cut the tension of my athletic career.
You know,
but I do miss those days where I could be obsessed 24/7. I do think that really served me well, but I'll take my life any day.
It's interesting about the team of you and Misty May, because you guys knew each other very early on. You played against each other in high school, didn't you?
We did. Yes, I got her autograph, actually. I was 14. It was a big moment for me.
Did that chemistry that developed when you guys finally got together as a team in 2001, tell me about that chemistry developing. I always find that fascinating in sports.
Yeah, you know, we had something from the get-go. Our very first practice, Misty and I we danced together. And I was such a greenhorn, and she was super young. She was 23, I was 22. And we grew up playing the game together, which I think was a huge blessing, you know. But ultimately, I honestly think what brought us closer together is that Misty lost her mom, Barbara, our second year together. And so we experienced deep grief together and, a life moment that, when you're in this intimate situation, it's going to either bring you closer together or tear you further apart. And I honestly think that really fortified our relationship. And then we knew we loved each other. We knew we respected each other. We knew that we each didn't feel like we had a ceiling on our potential together. And all of that came together it was literally pure magic playing with Misty.
I've talked to some baseball pitchers, and I always ask them, I said, do you remember the moment you went from being a thrower to actually being a pitcher? And it's an interesting question. And I'd put it to you this way about, do you remember the moment when you guys looked at each other and said, you know, we've got something here?
Man, I love that question, from a thrower to a pitcher. I couldn't place it. All I know is that I feel like my whole life was leading me into this tryout with Misty, my trainer. The universe conspired. God conspired. We hit it off on day one. And I honestly think on day one, both of us had maybe goosebumps for the 2 hours of practice, because we were so in it. And again, we were dancing together. And that's not normal. You know, it wasn't just a honeymoon thing. It was just like, oh my gosh, we fit. You know, like, we fit the time in our lives. We fit our playing styles, our mentalities. And so I want to say that, you know, early January practice in 2001, we knew. And then obviously we had to grow into ourselves.
What about the pressure of having a winning streak? Now, because you and Misty May extended a winning streak to 112 matches before you finally lost. Is there much pressure in a team sport when you have that many victories in a row? Tell me a little bit about that streak, what it was like.
Oh, man, it was so fun. So fun. What a good problem to have. That the thing I least hated hearing was, or I most hated hearing was how much we're winning, you know, because as an athlete, you're a little bit neurotic, you know, you don't want to jinx yourself and all these things. And that's all people want to talk about was the winning streak. And so it was a really wonderful problem to have. I would love to have that problem again. But it became fun, you know. At certain points, like near the end, every time, like, we lost, it was right after the Olympics, and I think there's such a rush and a high and such a laser focus on, you know, that one event and, you know, your lifelong dreams coming true, and I think there was an inherent and natural kind of drop-off, and so I think that's what happened. Otherwise, maybe we'd still be rolling, you know? Again, those winning habits are pretty special, but it became maybe tiresome for about a minute, and then you stop feeling sorry for yourself for winning so much. You know, it's kind of not allowed.
I've had golfers tell me that there is a big difference between playing on the regular PGA Tour and playing in one of the major golf tournaments, that the whole dynamic and the feel of it is different. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to ask you, the difference between playing just in another beach volleyball event and going to the Olympics and competing there.
Yeah, you know, for sure, obviously there's a difference. But if you were going to map everything out on paper, like, the Olympics is a weaker, smaller tournament than what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's only two teams per country represented, whereas usually there'd be the best, you know, five teams from Brazil, from Germany, from America in one tournament. And, you know, so that's, if you like sit down and like meditate on that, then you're like, okay, I got it. But then you have the media, and obviously NBC goes crazy and they tell these stories, and you feel the world's attention on you. And it's so beautiful, so fun. But I always reflect on the movie Hoosiers, you know, where they're going to the title game and they literally bring out the tape measure and measure the court and measure the height of the net. And it's all the same. We're just playing another game of volleyball.
And when you think back on the three gold medal winning Olympics that you went to, is there anything out of all those three that you still remember today that's kind of engraved in your mind?
Man, you know, my favorite thing, aside from standing atop the podium with my hand in my heart, hearing our national anthem, which is literally the most proud moment, aside from obviously my children being born, opening ceremonies, when you walk out with Team USA, you honestly feel like you're a part of this most ridiculous, like, warrior army. And then at some point, there's always some, this is so cheesy, but there's always some fireworks that go off. And I always have a moment where I take, you know, I say a little prayer and I'm looking up and I'm so grateful. And I'm literally, like, soaking up the love and the power and the energy of Team USA. And that's what I remember from actually each of the Olympics. That's so powerful.
The Rio Games, of course, was a little bit different. You didn't win gold there. You got a bronze medal, but you had a new partner as well. Tell me a little bit about getting together as a team and kind of going into those Olympics. What was that like?
Oh, man, it was so fun. You know, right, Misty was, it was very known that she was going to retire after London. And so I think subconsciously I'd just been kind of formulating, you know, who I might play with. And actually on the sand in London, right after we won the gold medal, my compatriots I was playing against another Team USA, April Ross, I gave her a hug and said, you know, congratulations, now let's go win gold in Rio. So in London at the previous Olympics, we set up the next Olympics in Rio. And I had a really wonderful time with April. She's a superstar. She's a winner through and through. And we had 3 really good years together. I was injured a lot, which is never fun, you know, but that again brought us closer together and kind of created a united front. And then moving forward, you know, we just thought, you know, we had 3 years together and let's see what else is out there. But I'm really proud of that bronze. You know, it literally was the hardest match of my entire career to play. You know, there's so much on the line, but coming after literally a devastating loss where your heart is broken and in pieces, because for me, I literally played a horrific game in the semis, to come back and win alongside my partner, you know, to gut it out together was very, very special.
Carrie, I had Dr. John Gray on the show. Now, that may seem strange to you with a national, international talk show, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. But I wanted him to come on to talk about the relationship between men and women when they compete either with or against each other. And it was funny when he talked about husbands and wives being on the same mixed tennis, you know, doubles tennis team. And I bring that up because your husband is a volleyball player as well. Tell me about that dynamic, the positives and maybe even the challenges.
Well, my husband has been responsible for my gold medals and my bronze because he's one of my favorite sparring partners, and I've yet to beat the guy when I play one-on-one. He's clearly better than me. But, you know, we played in a couple co-ed tournaments, and we're 2-for-2, and we might just leave it at that because it's so intense. Oh, my gosh, Ron. It's like tone is everything, you know? Like, I feel like I'm not great at taking criticism, but it's, like, even harder from coming from my husband. But, you know, it's just a fully loaded situation, and there's so much joy and excitement in it, but it's intense. And, you know, again, the wrong look or the wrong tone could, you know, send one or the other reeling. But it's team bonding, that's for sure.
I can share a story with you from his appearance on the show with me. A woman called and she said, Doctor, she said, my husband is a big-time sports fan. He sits on the couch from Saturday right through Monday night. And she said, I could come in completely nude, sit on the TV, and he'd say, honey, would you move your legs and change the channel?
I believe it. Men of the sport.
How do you keep the battery recharged? Because that's a hard thing to do when you get older, when you're in a competitive area.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I haven't had a problem with that. And I don't know if it's nature or nurture, and it's probably both. But I'm super driven internally. You know, right now, I've had 2 tournaments this year. My partner and I have taken 9th place. And I've had a couple chronic, you know, little injuries here and there. And that's the kind of stuff that really depletes your battery. And that's where the mental fortitude and the emotion, you know, the emotional capacity of, like, you have to remind yourself why you're doing this and why am I willing to go through all this stuff? Because if you're just doing it for the end result, that's not enough. And so I'm doing it because I love it. And I honestly believe that these 9th place finishes are going to turn into 1st place finishes. And ultimately the long play is I want to qualify and win Tokyo 2020. But I'm in it because I love it, period.
Is keeping it fun very important to be able to continue in a sport like this?
It is, you know, it is. I mean, certainly it's a job, absolutely, and I take it very seriously, sometimes too seriously, I think, because it is when I'm having fun and when I'm a little bit lighter and, you know, it's like all about the right amount of tension. I have suffocated dreams before, and then I've been too easygoing about dreams before. So it's about finding that right amount of tension of desire and focus and allowing, you know, kind of being nimble with the situation. But yeah, it's, it's a lot. That's why surrounding yourself with the right people, you know, like feeding yourself nutritionally and social media, you know, whoever you listen to, whatever you're reading to, like all of these things are going to make an impact on your psyche. And again, I work really hard to surround myself by amazing people, and they kind of help keep things going, you know, when things go south or when they're riding high.
You remind me of the mountain climber who looks around after he's climbed the mountain, looks around for another mountain to climb.
Oh, man.
And you announced that you're not signing a contract with the AVP because of disagreements with the organization. And you have launched something new that I think is fascinating. It's called P1440. Tell me the motivation for doing this, first of all, and then tell me what we can expect from that.
Yeah, well, the motivation for doing this is that, you know, our sport is amazing. We are 800 to 900 million globally, 25 to 40 million here in the U.S. It's so popular. It's so loved, but it's very sick at the professional ranks. And we, my husband and I and our team, we really want to elevate the sport financially. And we know that if we were just to run another bit, you know, business around a professional volleyball tournament, we would fail. And so we're called P1440. 1440, there are only 1,440 minutes in the day. And so we really want to inspire people to live their life mindfully with purpose. We are in a festival event series, so we will have beach volleyball, the best in the world tournament at our core, and then surrounding the beach volleyball, we're going to have immersive experience and personal development and health and wellness and then entertainment, so, you know, round out the festival experience. So we'll have 8 events in our first year starting at the end of September, which is so exciting in San Jose, and then in order to scale, because we want to be global, you know, again, our sport is loved globally, we are going to be a technology platform as well, so P1440.com. And our 4 pillars, which are competition, health and wellness, personal development, and entertainment, will live on our technology platform as well. Because ultimately, my husband and I, we always talked about starting an academy. And we wanted to give the world access to our experts that we have nutrition, mindfulness, you know, all this physical training, recovery, all these things. And so basically, P1440 is a manifestation of that, you know, and we want people to live optimal lives. We want to form a community that grows together, all with the intention of elevating the game of beach volleyball.
Kerry, you may be able to help me with this. And that is the fact that when you go to a beach volleyball event, there's something special about the atmosphere, and I don't know what it is. You see young people, you see older people. I mean, there is something that brings, I don't want to use the cliche family together, but it certainly feels like that experience.
You know, I think you nailed it. You know, we are the number one family sport in the world, volleyball, beach and indoor. And I don't know, you know, with beach volleyball, it's just you can't go wrong. You're in the elements. You're in, you know, the lifestyle of beach sports, whether it's surfing or beach volleyball, is incredible. It's unbeatable. And then you have the power of sport. You know, and sport does not discriminate. You know, it's ageless, it's genderless, it's graceless. Like, come out and enjoy people chasing a dream. Our sport is super aspirational. It's super family friendly, but it's also sexy. It's also graceful. It's also powerful. So I just really think we hit all the right notes. And our goal with P1440 is just to wrap that up in a neat little bow. And ultimately, you know, we want to service the volleyball community so well. But the idea behind bringing in the other elements is that we want to bring net new eyeballs to our sport. And so our sport is already so loved, but we feel like if we can execute on the other activations with regard to personal development and health and wellness, then we're just going to bring in this whole evergreen community to our sport who will fall in love from the get-go, because you can't not fall in love with our sport when you see it live.
Kerry, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you because you've been a part of my professional life for a long time, ever since you were a kid right through high school, watching you down there in the South Bay, and then, of course, going on to Stanford and now winning the gold medals that you have. And you and Misty May Trainer certainly set a standard, I think, not only for professionalism and excellence in volleyball and women's athletics as well. Billie Jean King is one of my partners in the company, so I've been associated with that sort of thing for a very long time. And so when I see somebody like you, thank you for letting me be a part of your professional life.
Oh, well, the honor is all mine, and you're hanging out with some good people. And I love it. You know, thank goodness for the John McEnroes and the Billie Jean Kings in the world. You know, they are true, true pioneers, and I appreciate you being part of my journey. We're not done yet.
Yep.
Put on your seatbelt. Excellence is coming.
Let me know if I can do anything to help with P1440. Take care, Kerry.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Kerry Walsh Jennings, again, 3-time Olympic gold medalist in beach volleyball, also won a bronze, and also won 3 world championships. We continue on Sports Byline.